Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 7, day 5 of our study of Matthew. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Matthew 21, 23 through 46. Thanks for joining me today on the 10-week Bible study. If you've been blessed by this podcast, I encourage you to go to 10weekbible.org. That's the number 10, week Bible, and it's .com, excuse me, 10weekbible.com. And check out the written Bible studies that we have for personal and group study. These things are great to jump into and delve into with those that you know and love, and they're great for just doing by yourself as well. My heart is that anything that you do, anything that you engage with in the 10-week Bible study, that it will draw you closer to the Lord and closer to His Word. Right now, and in our country, in our world, going deeper and getting to know God more through His Word is one of the most important things that the church and every Christian needs to do. This is Christianity 101, 201, 301, and 401. We never outgrow this. This is where we start, and it's where we live, and it's where we finish our life as Christians. This is the most important thing that we can do as believers, is to stay in God's Word. It's not the only thing that we do, but it is definitely the most important. I believe prayer is a very close second, but I think getting into His Word is so critical. And when I say getting into it, what I mean is reading it, just consuming it. And it's so much easier to do, as David said, to hide His Word in your heart if you just read it and consume it over and over and over again. All right, with that, let's go and jump into, let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill us today. Fill us with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's jump into God's word. I'm going to be reading today from the NIV. This is Matthew 21, starting in verse 23. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked, and who gave you this authority? So this is a little ambiguous right here. You could take this to mean he's teaching in the temple courts, which is not something we really see him doing, except when he's 12. He was actually asking questions and even kind of teaching. We've seen Jesus teaching in synagogues and things like that, but now he's teaching in the temple courts. And so this is going to be very offensive. It's also possible that the Pharisees are asking him about the things that he did yesterday, where he turned the tables over and stuff like that. But from the context here, it almost seems like they're asking about everything, like the teaching and the turning everything over. They were very offended in the book of John when he does all this stuff, and they ask him then, by what authority are you doing this? The book of John, we see a lot of times where John records the Pharisees challenging Jesus on his authority. This is, if not the only, one of the only places in Matthew where we see this question. It was something that John brought up. He made a big deal of. Matthew has made a little bit less of a deal of this authority question. But what it comes down to is, in their society, the Pharisees were the ones who doled out authority. You didn't have the authority to teach in the temple courts or in a synagogue or do this kind of stuff unless you had been granted authority by the Pharisees. You were supposed to study under them, go through their regiment, and then they would approve of you to go out and teach and do these things. And they hadn't done that for Jesus. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't like Jesus, mostly because he hadn't come through their little seminary system. And so they're very indignant over this. And so that's this question of authority. So it could be only about the turning over the tables. It could be only about the teaching in the temple courts. It could be all of the above. Verse 24, Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or human origin? They discussed it among themselves, and they said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, well, we're afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. They know they're caught. they know they're caught in this conundrum here because they know what Jesus is going to say. They know he's going to say, my authority comes from God because it didn't come from them. They know that. So he's not going to say, well, you know, it came from man, because then they're going to say, well, what man? Because we didn't give you the authority. So they know that Jesus is going to say it came from God. And what they're trying to do in that is they're trying to get him to say that so that they can say, oh, you know, blasphemy. You know, he says he's got teaching from God, but we didn't, you know, we're the ones anointed by God to lead and teach, and he didn't come through us. So, you know, it can't be from God. So that's really the thing that they're trying to trap him in. And Jesus is no dummy. You know, he sees the end of this from the beginning. And so he asked this. I mean, this is just the most beautiful political question right here. This is just amazing. He traps them in what he, you know, Jesus is not a politician, but my goodness, if he was, he would be the best one there ever was. I mean, wouldn't you just love to see Jesus? I mean, think of all of the people that congressmen parade in front of them when they have these like congressional hearings. And you know, the congressional hearings is very similar. They're just, they have people come out, and the congressmen don't really care about the people that they're interviewing. They're not actually trying to get information from them. They're just trying to like score points on television in front of their constituents. You know, I beat this guy up and I showed him who's boss. That's kind of how it goes. And very often they just have people that are there. They just have to sit and take it. Just the way the rules of Congress are, they just have to sit and take it. And Jesus, man, he would have so many mic drop moments if he was, you know, in that kind of situation, because he's really smart, as it turns out. He's like super, super smart. I mean, as it turns out, God is really, really smart. And so he turns this around on them, and he knows that they can't answer either way because of the competing interests that they've got. He knows that. So he traps them right back with their own question. Man, Jesus would make an awesome politician. In fact, one day he might even make an awesome king who rules over everyone. He might actually be really good at it. Actually, the Bible says he's going to do that. That's me kidding here. Okay, verse 28. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Jesus is speaking directly to the Pharisees right now. And so he's dispensing with the parables without interpretation, without public interpretation. So up to this point, all of the parables have been spoken publicly, but he only tells the meaning to the disciples and those that come up to him afterwards. He is telling the parable and then telling them very directly what it means. And so he tells them this parable and he's like, you guys, you Pharisees, you are not entering the kingdom of heaven because you're not listening. You're not hearing what's going on and responding, but prostitutes and tax collectors, I mean, two of the like the worst people in their society by their estimation, saying they're actually entering the kingdom of heaven and you are not. Verse 33, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent the other servants to them more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. When the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who gave him his share of the crop at harvest time. Okay, I got to pause right there because, you know, Jesus is still speaking to the Pharisees and he asks them this question. So the previous parable, he's already told them point blank, this is directed right at you. So he tells them another parable and it's obviously directed right at them and they're still really not catching on. So he asks them the question and you can see that it's gotten their ire up. Like the parable actually makes them angry that the son was killed. And like, you know, he's going to kill them all. He's going to take care of them. And so they're understanding what should be done. They're just not understanding that Jesus is talking directly to them yet. So he's going to make it real clear. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes." That's Psalm 118. Verse 43, "Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. So right here, they are furious. So Jesus has told two parables, but unlike all the other parables he's told where he tells them publicly and everyone kind of shakes their head and nods and says, "Yeah, that was a good story. It was a good story." Silently to their friend, "I don't know what he's talking about." You know, only the only people that get to know the meaning of the parable are the ones who are humble enough to come up to Jesus afterward and say, "I don't get it. Can you explain that to me?" And that's what he's after. He's after the people that will hear it, but then be humble enough to come and say, "I don't get it." Most people are not that humble. Most people kind of shake their head and nod and they don't care or they're not interested or they want to pretend like they get it because they're smart. The Pharisees, of course, they can't say, "Hey, we don't get it, you know, because we're the teachers. And so we can't say that we don't understand it." And so there's a lot of pride and weirdness going on. But here we see Jesus is just point blank. He tells them the parable and he gives the public interpretation because he wants them to understand, "I am talking directly to you. You are the problem. This is an equation," is what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees. And so he does that two times in a row here. And they are livid because they're like, "Well, we want to arrest him right now, but we can't." And that just burns them up. That's probably eating them alive here that they can't just, boom, just take off and arrest Jesus. So this is heating up. This hatred of Jesus, what's going on here, it is heating up. And they're eventually going to have their way. What they don't realize is it's not really their way, but they're going to, at least as far as they understand, they are going to get their way. They're going to be able to arrest Jesus and they're going to be able to kill him. And it's going to be the biggest backfire in human history. But until then, for the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.